Hey, this is Jeff Pilsen of Foreigner, M Machine, Black Swan, Heavy Hitters, you name it, I've been there, and you're listening to Metal from the Inside with my friend Sid, and keep listening.
You've tuned in to the most crazy rocking metal podcast on the air. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Metal from the Inside.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Metal from the Inside podcast. I'm your host, Sydney Taylor, and thank you guys so much for tuning into another episode and joining me for another interview here on the podcast. And this interview is really full circle, and I'm going to get into why in just a second, but as I'm sure you can tell from the title of the episode, this week I have Jeff Pilsen, former bassist for Dokken, current bassist for Foreigner, Black Swan, The End Machine, and more joining me. And I am so excited. Jeff has been one of my pals for a couple of years now, and we are going to get into how we met right now, which it's a really funny story. And I really do believe that the universe works in mysterious ways and that destiny and fate had a little bit to do with how everything has worked out for me in this journey in the music industry. But, you know, if you are familiar with me at all or have been following me for a couple of years now or whatever, I had started this whole process and craft of, you know, interviewing back when I was in college, my freshman year of college to be exact. I ended up taking this course called Web Radio Operations, and I ended up taking this course because before I started my first semester of college, I ended up having to drop another course I was taking due to the fact that the time changed. I believe that's what happened. It didn't fit in my schedule anymore, and I don't think the class was like mandatory, so it didn't fit anymore, and I was like, I'm just gonna drop it and pick up another class. So I did, and the class that I picked up was Web Radio Operations, and the main goal of this class was to have your own radio show on the university's radio station, and you know, there were a lot of requirements, things that you had to do, you know, over the course of the semester, you know, some pre-recorded shows, some live shows, and a bunch of other things. But, you know, I remember the first day of that class, you know, when my professor told us that we had to put together a radio show and have a radio show every week, I knew immediately, of course, that I was going to do a show on, you know, hard rock and heavy metal, specifically from the 80s, which, you know, knowing me, you probably are not shocked by the fact that I was like, 80s metal, immediately. But I knew that that is what I wanted the show to be based around. And the great thing, and something that, like I said, I think the universe works in such mysterious ways, is one of the requirements for the course was I had to do a phone interview on my radio show. And I had never done an interview before. I was writing on a rock blog before I started college, but it was all writing, and I had not done, you know, a written interview at that point or anything. You know, I hadn't done any interview at all. So I was a little intimidated by it because, you know, it was a new thing. I wasn't really 100% sure, you know, what it would be like or what it would take to do one that was actually really good and not, you know, asking too many fan questions or, you know, etc. So I was a little nervous, but you know what? I was like, if I have to do this, I want to do it with everything that I have and, you know, try to get a guest that I'm a huge fan of. So I had ended up reaching out to Jeff Pilsen, ended up getting his contact information, and I reached out to Jeff. And I'm a huge Dokken fan, as I'm sure many of you know as well. And if you don't, I am just a huge Dokken fan. They are one of my all-time favorite bands, probably my second favorite band right behind Alice Cooper. I love Dokken so much. Everything that they did, and that's a whole other story. But loving Dokken so much, I had reached out to Jeff, and he said that he would do it, which I'm still so amazed and thankful for Jeff that he decided to take a chance on a 17-year-old kid who was just starting at her college radio station. You know, I was not, like I said, experienced at all in this field. I was kind of brand new, and he decided to just take a chance and to go for it. So I'm eternally grateful to Jeff for that, because quite honestly, that is why I am here right now talking to you into, you know, this microphone and talking to all of these guests that I've had on, and even working in, you know, the place that I do now at WMMR here in Philadelphia. It really all goes back to that first interview with Jeff. So that is why this conversation today with Jeff is so full circle and special for me. You know, I've had the chance to, you know, talk to Jeff many times over the years. We've become friends, and, you know, I've gotten to interview him backstage at some Foreigner shows and, you know, talk to him even for my senior thesis when I graduated college, which was another full circle moment. You know, he was there helping me out when I started and when I finished, and now in, you know, my real big girl, real world job. So Jeff is just the nicest. I can't say enough great things about him, not only as a person, but I always say that he is truly one of the most underrated musicians. He's not only a fantastic musician, but he's an incredible vocalist and an incredible producer. He has such an ear for music and, you know, the art of songwriting and, you know, putting a record together. And I think that he is so often underrated, and, you know, he's so much more than just Dokken or, you know, that time period of music. So, you know, every time that I can, I love to speak with him and talk to him about everything that he's up to. And lately he is working with Black Swan, which, if you are a Sea of Tranquility viewer, I have mentioned this record so many times on Sea of Tranquility. The first Black Swan record was released, I believe, back in 2020, January of 2020. And it's so good. It's got the whole, you know, kind of 80s vibe to it, but it's so melodic, and also just, it is modern sounding, even though it kind of has that nostalgic sound to it. It's fantastic. If you haven't listened to the record, I highly recommend it. Like I said, I've mentioned it on Sea of Tranquility a bunch of times, and I've had a lot of people get back to me and tell me that they listened to the record after I spoke about it and they loved it. So if that's you, I think that you're really going to dig this record. So I recommend picking it up, purchasing it, checking it out. But Black Swan is returning with a second record, their sophomore release, entitled Generation Mind. And the lead single is also titled Generation Mind. It's the title track off the record. And it is going to hit shelves on April 8th. So be sure to mark your calendars. And you can listen to the lead single now over on Frontiers Music's YouTube channel. So the first single off the record, I told Jeff, and, you know, in this interview, it totally lives up to the first record. You know, I just know that the second album is going to be just as good as the first, and I'm just really excited. So we talk all things Black Swan, the new record, where the inspiration came for the album, the title, everything revolving Black Swan. We also talk, of course, a little bit about Dokken and Jeff's time in the band. You know, the possibility of a Dokken reunion, will it ever happen? We know that the band had a reunion back in 2016. They did some shows in South Dakota and some shows in Japan, and released one song, It's Another Day, but they haven't done anything since. So we talk about the possibility of another Dokken reunion, possibly another Dokken record featuring the full band sometime in the future. So you're going to have to listen to find out all the details on that. But we talk Dokken, we even talk a little bit about the whole, you know, feuding in the public eye aspect that was around the band in the 80s, and a lot more. So it was really cool, as always, you know, as a huge Dokken fan, to get to talk to Jeff about, you know, his time in the band and, you know, kind of where they're at now. And we also talk about Jeff's upcoming project with George Lynch. Even though George and Jeff are not in Dokken anymore, they have worked together so much in the past couple of years, especially with The End Machine. And back at the end of 2020, they released a covers album called Heavy Hitters, where they covered a lot of songs that you wouldn't expect, like songs from Carole King and Prince, and just a lot of really cool tracks that they covered. And they're working on a second record of cover songs, and we talk a little bit about the whole vibe of the new record, where they're at in the writing process. So I am really excited about that, and to see what songs will be covered on the new Heavy Hitters record. And yeah, we also talk, of course, about Jeff's full-time baby, Foreigner. He's coming up on his 19th year in the band. So he spent a lot of time in that band, a lot of time on the road with those guys. So we talk about Foreigner, what they've got coming up, and a whole lot more. So if you are a Dokken fan, a Foreigner fan, just a hard rock and heavy metal fan, I think that you are really going to enjoy this conversation with Mr. Jeff Pilson. Without further ado, we are going to get right into my conversation with bassist, songwriter, producer, music extraordinaire, Mr. Jeff Pilson.
Hey.
Hi, Sid.
How are you?
Very, very good.
I'm glad to hear it. Thank you for, as always, for doing this. I appreciate it.
Oh, you look like you're in a studio as well.
I am. I don't know if I told you or it happened last year. I work for MMR in Philly now.
Actually, I've seen posts about that. Yeah, that's where you are. Oh, that's fabulous. Well, congratulations.
Thank you so much. And I always say, I'm like, man, you were the one. I was just telling my producer, you were like my first interview that I ever did, or one of my very first. Yeah, it was for my college radio show, and you were one of the very first ones.
Wow, that's funny. Oh, wow. Cool. Well, I feel like I've known you a while now, but couldn't have known you that long because you're so young. But
but yeah, I mean, the first thing I wanted to talk about, which I thought it was funny, and I know that you always, you know, do interviews in your studio. And I had never known until like a couple days ago when I was just kind of prepping for this that you called it Pill Sound Studios. And I was like, it's just as clever as I would imagine Jeff coming up with something that clever. And I'm always so fascinated by just the setup you have because it's, I mean, you do all your records there. So, of course, it's pretty intricate because, you know, it's where you work most of the time. But, I mean, how long have you been in this space specifically?
This space specifically, we moved in. So this is connected to our house, right? This used to be the garage. We actually built a new garage outside because this is attached to the house. So this has been, we moved in at the end of 2005. And it was, the shell of this studio was already here because the guy that we bought the house from did soundtrack stuff. But we did a lot of improving. You see that window right there. That was the hole was in there and one wall was there. But we ended up putting in the second wall, the second hole, and then we built the windows, the studio, the two studio windows right here, and turned that into a really nice ISO room. That was the first year. Then a year later, we made the drum room, which was that room over there. So it's been as it is since 2006.
Wow. That's incredible. I mean, it's
yeah, so a lot of records in here.
Yeah. I mean, that, like I said, it's so, I mean, it just looks, you know, you have all the amps behind you and it just, I mean, you obviously work there, so I understand why it's so, you know, put together, but it's so interesting to me, you know, just seeing like so many people I'm sure that you work with too also have home studios and, you know, me growing up and, you know, learning about rock and stuff, you know, you think of all like these studios where, I mean, and you know, you used to have to go to a studio, it wasn't as always, you know, I get to, you know, get out of bed and come down to the studio, which is cool. So, but I love that Pill Sound Studios. That's awesome.
Well, I try and have the best of both worlds in here. In other words, I loved going to the studio back in the day. That was a great thing. And I want people to experience that when they come here. But I got to admit, because I work so much, it's really nice to have it connected to my house. Right. So I feel like I have the best of both worlds. I feel when people come here, they still get a studio experience, even though it's connected to my home.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a separate entrance and everything. So I try and maintain that studio mystique that was always there that I think is a part of the magic of making records. And everybody that's recorded here always says the same things like, wow, it feels really good in here. It feels real musical in here. I want to make music when I get in here. And that's my goal.
Yeah. You were working from home before it was cool, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've had home studios forever. I mean, you know, right. Dokken demos were always done in home studios. It's just that now the gear has gotten to the point where, and you know, I mean, I have what is industry standard professional gear now that you can have, you know, it was impractical to have that in your home 30 years ago. Fortunately, it's not now.
Right. I mean, cause now it's Pro Tools. It's not a whole bunch of tape and you know, you're like, what am I doing with all this? But I want to get into, the record that you just made in that studio that was just announced, the second album, which I raved over that record so much, the first Black Swan record when it came out, because I love it. I mean, it's also you, and I love Robin, and it was just like a match made in musical heaven to me. But you just announced the second record and the lead off single, which is the title track, Generation Mind. And I mean, the first album, like I said, was great. I feel like it got a lot of great feedback. So, I mean, you guys wanted to do the second record. What made you guys decide to do so?
Well, there was demand for it, which is nice. And because that's what we want to do. I mean, you know, these quote unquote projects that happen, you know, people ask me all the time, well, is it a band or is it a project? Well, let's put it this way. You know, there's a new ethic out there now. It's a different world now. But these quote unquote projects, we do approach them like bands. We do invest in them, you know, musically, psychologically, camaraderie wise, chemistry wise, everything about it, I like to approach as if it's a real band. So a real band wants to keep making records. And that's the thing, you know, as long as Reb and Robin have something to say and I can help them with it, I'm going to want to make Black Swan records.
Right. And I had talked to, I actually am trying to get him back on the podcast. We texted about it. Robin, I had him back on originally, I think in the end of 2020. And the funny thing, he told the story about how you originally weren't going to be in the band. And he was like, I'm only doing this if you're doing it. So I think that's really funny.
Yeah, well, actually what happened was, is yes, originally Frontiers, the label, Serafino and Frontiers, he wanted this to be a project that I just produced. That was how it was kind of pitched to me. And it was right before Foreigner was going on tour with Whitesnake. So the first name that came to mind for me was Reb. And, you know, Reb and I had done the Dokken record.
Erase the Slate
several years ago. And we knew we had a great chemistry, great writing chemistry. And I've always loved Reb. He's just a wonderful guy. I love him, you know. So I asked him and he was like, yes. And then my thought was, oh, Robin McCauley would be perfect for this. Robin being one of my dear friends, and to me, one of the most underrated. I mean, he's finally starting to kind of get recognized for what he's got. But for a long time, it felt to me like Robin should have had been recognized a lot more. So I thought, wow, this is going to be great. And then, of course, Matt came along kind of towards the end. We toyed with a couple other drummers first, but Matt came in and filled the slot and made it perfect. But yeah, I was originally just going to produce it, and I had somebody in mind to play bass, who would have been great, by the way. But both Reb and Robin were like, well, for one, it really started happening when we were writing, because Reb was like, look, you're putting down these bass tracks right now. We're kind of, this feels right. Do we really want to do this with somebody else again? And I'm like, well, you got a point there. So we asked Frontiers, we said, well, is it okay if I'm in this one too? And they said, sure, go for it. So there you go.
I love what you said about Robin, because I really couldn't agree more. I mean, I had always been a fan of his stuff with, you know, obviously Macaulay Shanker, like Save Yourself was one of my favorite records. But it's really like, since he did this and then he did the solo record with Frontiers, and I had remember seeing this specific video of him with the Michael Shanker Fest, and he did Anytime. And I swear to God, I was like, he sounds like he just got done recording the record. Like,
I know,
it's mind-blowing.
He's a force of nature. He really is.
It's like I can't wrap my head around it, and everybody says that. Like, you don't come across one person who's like, you know, he doesn't, like, everybody's like, holy shit, like, he's amazing.
He's a real man.
He's truly amazing. So when, you know, you guys decided to do this, I was very excited, and especially now that the second record's happening. And I also was just curious, because I know back when I had spoken to him, it was kind of end of 2020, so the thought of live shows is just not a thing. But, I mean, is there any plans to do anything live with this? Because I know that sometimes it's, you know, you, like you said, you kind of approach it as a band, but you're with Foreigner and he's doing his thing, and, you know, Reb's doing Winger and...
Winger and Master. Yeah. Well, no concrete plans for anything, no. Right. would never rule it out, however. Would love to do it if the opportunity came along. The simple fact is, in reality, the opportunities would be difficult to have come our way.
Right.
You know, it just, I mean, not that we've gotten offers, we've gotten a lot of offers, but to have the offers line up with when both Reb, Robin, Matt, and I are all not doing something else, and the chances are just remote at this point. And that's just the reality. We just have to deal with that. But having said that, I know it's all we talk about. We just did a video shoot last week and we were all talking about, God, this would be so fun to go out and play. So it's, we're always entertaining the option because it would be such a wonderful thing. But you know, I hate to string people along, you know, I just don't know how it could happen or when, but if it ever does, we're going to be really excited and we would go out there and kick major ass.
it would be so much fun. I hope that.
Four singers in the band. I mean, that's pretty rare.
Right. I mean, you guys.
Matt is a singer in his own right. He really is. So right. We could go out there and vocally just, I mean, be the most we'd be so hard to deal with. We would be really a force to be dealt with.
And I think I read somewhere, didn't Robin's son do backing vocals on
it? A lot of Yeah, we used Casey for the real high backing vocals on this record. It was great because he's awesome. And he's got this voice that's super, if you listen on the record, and we mixed it pretty loud this time, you can hear him. It's that real high voice in there on a bunch of the songs. He just, it's amazing. His voice, he's another force of nature.
Yeah, he came from a force of nature, so it makes sense. Where did the, you know, inspiration, I guess, come from for the title of the record? And the cover is really interesting. It's kind of one of those like old school, you know, like masks, which I mean, I guess we kind of know where that came from. But where did the title at least come from?
The title came from the song, and the song came basically, it was called something, you know, when Robin brought in the first draft of the lyrics, it was called something else, I forget what it was, and the melodies were reminiscent of what we had, but Robin and I worked on it a little bit, and then Rev had suggested a couple melody lines, and he sent them to us and we listened. And on one of the lines that he sent, it sounded like he was saying Generation Mind. And I was like, I like that. That just sounds right for some reason. And then it gave us this whole concept about, you know, younger generation, no offense to you, and things that are going on. And it just led to the writing of the song, and Robin and I just finished it off right there, and it kind of came together very naturally, and we all just love the song, and it just feels like a great way to start a new record.
Yeah. By the way, none taken. My generation's a mess. So,
well, all generations are a mess. But here's the thing: your generation's gonna have to save the world. So we're expecting you to get it together soon. So
that's what my dad says, and I'm like, you know, when the time machine's invented, I'm just gonna go back to the '80s. So I'll, you know, somebody else can take care of that one. It's fine. But no, yeah, I mean, what I've always loved about this project and this band is, you know, it's totally evident on this new song, but it doesn't sound like Dokken, it doesn't sound like MSG, it doesn't sound like Winger or Whitesnake or any of that. It sounds like it definitely fits in, you know, line with that kind of music, but it's so unique. And I think that's kind of a really special thing because, you know, you guys have all come from different, you know, different bands and different, you know, just things that you've done. So I think that's kind of a really cool thing that it doesn't sound like anything that you guys have done.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I mean, listen, when you got an amazing guitar player with a sound of his own, amazing singer with a sound of his own, put right. the right music and band behind it, you're going to have something unique. And that's what happened. I mean, the chemistry in this band is just phenomenal. And that's, you know, it was something we hoped for, but you don't always get it. So the fact that we did and the fact that it's got some legs, pretty cool.
Yeah, and people are loving it, man. They're really looking forward to it. It's being released on April 8th or 9th?
8th, I was 8th? Told.
All right. Yeah, so April 8th, and I'm really excited because... when can we expect the video, by the way? Is that coming soon?
I've seen some cuts of it. It's real close, so probably soon, I would think.
Cool. Cool. Well, I will, looking forward to seeing it and sharing it and all that stuff. But speaking of other, you know, legendary guitar players that you've worked with many times over the years, I know you were working on another record with George Lynch, the Heavy Hitters. The second Heavy Hitters, the first one came out back in 2020. And that's another one where I heard you guys were doing a covers record, and I was like, okay, and you guys released it, and you guys came out with some covers I just was not expecting you to do, like Carole King and Prince, which was so cool because, you know, most people do, you expect what covers people are going to do, or kind of the realm. So you guys came out and did some really unexpected stuff, but I was really excited to hear that you guys are working on a second one. So what do you guys have in store?
And also some unexpected songs.
Ooh.
Got a real, very interesting mix of songs. The second record is coming out amazing. We're done with all the rhythm tracks now. Guy by the name of Bernard Fowler is going to sing on this one. And Bernard, he's been a background singer with the Stones forever, but he also sang in Ron Wood and Charlie Watts' solo bands. He's just a great singer. He's a great guy, real soulful singer. So this is going to be really exciting. We're doing some very cool. The music is just killer this time. It's Brian Tichy's playing drums again, and it's monstrously good. I'm really excited about it. Can't wait for Bernard to sing. George is actually coming over. Actually, it's tomorrow. I thought he was coming today. He's actually coming tomorrow. But he's coming over tomorrow, and we're gonna start doing solos on. Well, we have one song. There's a Christmas song on the record, which is interesting. It's probably not gonna come out until Christmas, I'm thinking. There's a Christmas song on the record, and I actually sing that one. And so that one is almost done. Once the solos are done, that song will be done. So just really excited about it. Can't wait for people to hear it. I would tease out some of the songs, but I think I'm just going to wait. It's another interesting mix of songs. It's going to be a little more rock and heavy this time. We're still doing, you know, hit songs. That's the whole principle behind Heavy Hitters. But it's a little more of a rock band behind it. And we wanted to keep it a little more edgy rock band. So it's really, really cool. I'm really excited. Brian played the shit out of the drums. Can I say that on this?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, and it's just really exciting. So I'm musically as satisfied as I could be.
Yeah. And I love the fact that you and George work together so much now. You know, you guys have such a long history as, you know, not only bandmates but friends, and I love the fact that you guys, you know, still work together. I mean, you guys have done the End Machine, and now you've done this, and, you know, I'm sure you guys have done other stuff that we don't even know about, you know.
Well, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah, but
well, you know, I mean, George and I, we describe ourselves as our musical soulmates. You know, it really is. I mean, it's just always been there from minute one. First time he ever came over to my apartment, wow, 40 years ago, you know, he walked in the door, saw my guitar standing there, picked it up, and we wrote a song together. I mean, it's like that kind of chemistry. We've always had it. It's always been immediate with he and I. So, yeah, I love doing that. And he's playing great. And, it, you know, we have no egos between us. It's all just about whatever it takes to make it good. It's really fun, really satisfying.
Yeah, there's a, whenever I think of you and George Lynch, or whenever I see your names, you know, in a headline or whatever, I think about, there's this DVD that I had gotten, and I've seen it on videos, of you guys when you guys were in Dokken, and it was in like 1986, I think this came out, and it was like, you did a compilation, I think you might know what I'm thinking of. You guys did the compilation of all the videos, and you guys filmed like backstage, and you and George were in the hotel room and were doing the guitar like demo where he's
the guitar whammy neck. Yeah. No, anyway, what was it? The something throw and go guitar trainer.
That I always think of that. It was just so like off the cuff, hilarious.
We ever did, I gotta say, it was pretty funny.
Like, do you have like any memory? I mean, other memories of filming that? Because I feel like it's just such in the kind of low key thing for like major Dokken fans.
I do, although I was doing drugs and drinking back then, so I don't remember it as clearly as I should. But but that was fun. That was done. Yeah, Dokken was on tour. I'm pretty sure it was the Under Lock and Key tours when we started doing all that stuff. And what I love about that video is, you know, Dokken got known for being such a mess, you know, which we were in some ways. You know, there was dysfunction in the band. But we also had a real fun side with all of us. And what that captures is the good feeling that was there, because we did. We had a lot of fun. I mean, we were, you know, young men experiencing all the stuff that you're experiencing at that point in life. And it captures that. And I love that, because there was a lot of good in Dokken too. And I'm glad people get to see that.
Yeah, it definitely comes out in that video. And I mean, I've heard a lot of things, and I guess you can, you know, attest to this or not. I mean, is it true that a lot of that, you know, people heard of and, you know, the magazine cover with the feud guns and all? I mean, like, was that just publicity? Was that just created out of, like, we, you know, think that this will, you know, have a buzz around it? Or
short answer, yes. It came from real stuff.
Right.
What happened was, is as we were, I think it was when we were starting the campaign for the Tooth and Nail record, we were meeting with publicists, and they were kind of trying to decide how they should create a press angle for us, because, you know, we were really more about music. We weren't like an image band. This is when you had Motley Crue and Quiet Riot and all those bands. So they were kind of trying to figure out what to do with us, because we weren't so image conscious. And then that's when the publicist latched onto, oh, this feud that they've got going. Now, listen, it came from interviews with us. So Don and George, probably all of us to some extent, said things that led to that. But then it became a self-fulfilling prophecy, because then it just got worse and worse. And then things started happening in the press, and, you know, it ultimately led to the disbanding of the band in 1989. It was something real, but it was completely exaggerated and expanded by the press.
Right. Yeah. I'll never forget, like I said, that magazine cover where it's Don and George and they have like the guns up. I think it was Hip Parader. And I'm like,
that was Rip magazine. It might have been a Hip Parader one too, though.
I mean, there were a couple of them. And I mean, it's sometimes you look at that and you're like, really? They posed for that?
I mean, that was done tongue in cheek, obviously. but you know, that was what they thought people wanted to hear. And you know what? To a certain extent, you have to understand, it did work. It did get people talking about it. So from their angle, they didn't, you know, the publicist didn't have to worry about the long-term ramifications that we did have to worry about. But but it worked. I mean, that's what people know Dokken for. So, you know, I guess you got to take the good with the bad, or the bad with the good.
Yeah. And I know that George, you know, has, I don't want to, you know, get too much into this because I know you get asked about it all the time, but, you know, I know George has been doing some stuff with Don, and I actually saw them when, they came through here. They played like half hour for me, and it was fun. You know, it was the first time I ever saw Don and George on stage together, the very first time. And so that was really cool. But, you know, were you approached at all to do anything with them, or, you know, you kind of at this point are just like hands off?
No, that was, I mean, they know my schedule is kind of busy. No, I was not asked to do that, but didn't really expect to. But, you know, the fact that they can go out and do that, that's great. You know, why not?
Yeah. Because you guys, I remember you did that. God, what was it?
Well, we did the reunion.
You did the reunion, and then you did the one song that you guys all recorded together when you did the video for it.
Just Another Day, yeah.
Right. Which was great. And like, I think fans, and I'm sure you've been told, you know, fans really loved that whole, you know, getting to see you guys all together and, you know, a new song from all of you, which is really cool. And, you know, at this point, I feel like, I mean, you guys don't really owe us anything. I mean, he gave us however many albums, you know, it was a period of time where, you know, obviously people can look back on it and enjoy the music and everything. But, you know, yeah, it's just, I think sometimes people get caught up in the whole, like, is there going to be like a full-fledged reunion? And, you know.
Listen, that, again, not ruling it out, right. But it's just down to time and, possibilities. And something else you have to consider is, you know, Don does now own the franchise. It's basically his. So when we do it, you know, you figure whatever we do would have to be worth at least four times as much for him to be worthwhile to do. That's not always going to be the case. But maybe someday, you know, who knows? I know we've all talked about the fact that we would love to make one more really concentrated, full-on effort record. I don't know if that's possible, but if it is, I know I'd love to do it. And I know Don and George and I have all spoken about that, and there is that desire in there. But finding the time to really devote to it and do it right, as well as all the other stuff we do, that's hard. So, and like I say, on the business end of things, it would have to be a pretty lucrative situation for Don to want to do it. So we'll see. I just, you know, maybe someday I have to carry on, you know, as if, and if it happens, that'd be great. It is a little bucket list thing. And you know, that song proved to me that we can do it still, that the chemistry is still there, because it was so natural. It just, I mean, it was really effortless coming up with that song. And that should tell you something right there. So we'll see, who knows. Nope. Again, no plans, but maybe someday we'll see.
Yeah. Well, Mick at this point kind of stepped out, and I mean, I know his brother kind of filled in for him when you guys did the last End Machine record, which I'm always just so amazed by all the projects you do, because you're doing like three or four projects, then you're like producing three or four, and then you're in Foreigner, which I want to get into as well, because I mean, that's your full-time main monster that you're a part of. And you guys got back to touring this past fall, correct?
We did. Well, no, actually last spring we started touring in May. But we had it wasn't a full year like usual, but it was two-thirds full year. And we started, I mean, my first gig with this Foreigner is this coming Friday. So yeah, I mean, the machine is back. And where you were probably going with that question is about Steve Brown. And yeah, I think if a Dokken reunion happened, I don't think Mick would want to do it. I don't think, just judging from him, he's really happy not playing drums right now and being retired. He's really enjoying it. And he deserves that. You know, we all love Mick. So, you know, whatever makes him happy. So chances are, if we did a Dokken thing, it would be with Steve Brown, but we'll see. Again, we'll see. Steve is great. And Steve is motivated, and Steve does want to play, so it would be great to do. And he, and if you want somebody that sounds like Mick Brown, both in his playing and his singing, he's as close as you get. So, and he's just great. I love Steve. I mean, and Steve has such a great energy. Kind of has a little bit of what Mick has always had, that exuberance, you know. And it's great. So if Steve did it, I think it would be great. But again, who knows?
Yeah, I had no idea until I had read that he was filling in for Mick, that he even had a brother that played drums as well, which was kind of crazy. I was like, wow, what are the odds that you have a brother that also plays the same instrument as you? But you look at it and it's like, you know, at this point, I feel like you can attest to it as well. You know, you're doing this because, you know, you love it. Obviously, you have to make a living, but I know, like, especially for you, the, you know, Black Swan and the End Machine are all kind of passion projects and out of major want to do them. And so it's like, you know, once you reach a point where you're not really into it anymore, you know, it's more work than fun. You know, I don't blame him for wanting to bow out a little bit.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, Mick has had some physical issues just from years of playing drums, back stuff and all that kind of thing. So it's a lot of that, really. So yeah, again, I understand. I mean, I'd love to have a full-on reunion with Mick, if that could ever happen, but I don't think it will. I just don't see him wanting to do it, but we'll see. Yeah.
Fingers crossed. But I'll be the person who buys the album if it ends up happening, for sure. You got at least a buyer in me. But no, I, like I said, Foreigner, which is, I know, your main gig, and you know, I know that you kind of base everything off around where your guys are at, but I mean, you've been in Foreigner, how many years has it been now since you joined the band?
This is my 19th year.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah, I know.
That's insane.
I know. Not considering I signed up for weekend work. That was the original pitch. But yeah, it turned into a wonderful full-time gig, and I'm just very grateful for it. It's been great. I love the music. I love the people. I love management. I love my fellow bandmates. It's all great. I wouldn't be on the road at this point in my career if I didn't love the situation. And I do. So it's great to have that. It's just really, really great to have that. And what can I say? I mean, I feel very fortunate.
And it's such a fun show. You know, I've seen you guys, obviously, and, you know, it's Kelly sounds great. Like, he just dominates the stage. It's a really fun show. So if anybody, you know, watching or listening has never, you know, seen you guys in this current lineup, like, I highly recommend it. It's so much fun.
It's a lot of energy, too. It's a high energy show, and that makes it wonderful and fun. And it just takes that music to a new level to me. And I just think, you're right, people need to see this new Foreigner, and everyone that has been happy, so couldn't encourage it more.
And I mean, this is the one project that you're really doing where, I mean, you don't have to, it doesn't require any like writing from you, correct? I mean, you haven't done any, you know, a lot of studio work with them.
We've done, Mick and I have done some stuff together working on new music, but yeah, it's not really writing for me. I wish we did do more new music, but we are working on some new music, and it's really good. So I'm very encouraged by that. The thing is with Foreigner, there's no deadline to it. There's no time frame. So it happens when it happens. But there's some new music that's being worked on that's really good. So I think somehow on some package or something, we'll be coming out with new music, and it's going to be really strong.
Now, were you a big Foreigner fan when you were, you know, you were? Okay.
I think I'd be safe in saying for most of the bands, the Dawkins, the Rats, those kind of things, I think we all looked at Foreigner as an example of hard rock with great songs, big choruses. And that was our model. You know, when Dawkins started off, that was what we wanted to be, is we wanted to be big songs, but heavy. We wanted to take it another step from where Foreigner took it, but in some ways the principle is so much the same. I was a huge fan. I love the records. I loved Lou Gramm's voice. I loved the way Mick played guitar. I mean, I loved Foreigner. I still love Foreigner.
I hope so, no. So I know you said it was approached to you at first, like a weekend gig, but I mean, I don't know if I've ever asked you how you actually ended up joining the band. How did that happen?
Well, so I did a movie called Rockstar that came out in 2001.
Steel Dragon, baby.
Yes, that's right. But we recorded it we filmed it in 2000. And in the movie with me was Jason Bonham. We played bandmates, but we also got along quite well during the making of the movie, wrote a song together for it. Established a good musical chemistry as well. So when he started working with Mick Jones in 2004, At first, he just called me up and said, hey, not Jason, but the manager, Phil, called me up and said, hey, we're going to do this charity event. We're kind of figuring out what it's going to be. Do you want to do it? And I said, sure. So we went down and rehearsed for a week. And I think in that week is when we pretty much decided, oh, man, you know, I think Mick then decided I'm going to revamp Foreigner. When he did, then when Kelly got involved, it just instantly fell together, and like that we were out there touring and doing it full time.
Now, did you know Kelly at all? Because I mean, he was in Hurricane, so I was gonna say, I mean, you guys, I'm sure, cross paths.
Kelly, yeah, of course. We not only that, we were neighbors. I mean, we lived very close to each other, just a few blocks, and in fact we lived so close, this is a bizarre circumstance, but we were playing a winery once early in the Foreigner days, and Kelly ordered a box of wine from the winery to be delivered to his house. And just without going into details, the numbers on our houses were similar, except two numbers were just juxtaposed, okay, right? But different streets. So this is weird. Somehow, the box of wine got delivered to my house instead of his, which is so weird. It had his address on it, but the guy delivered it to our house. It was so weird. Anyways, that's how close we lived. So yeah, I knew Kelly before the band. We weren't terribly close, but I knew him, respected him. And then was just blown away by him the minute he, once he started doing Foreigner, it was so clear this is what he's meant to do. Yeah. And he just hasn't looked back since.
No, he's another one that I think is, I always thought he was very underrated with his work in Hurt.
Yeah, right.
Because, I mean, that's a band that I feel like was really kind of like underground for some weird reason, because I feel like they had what it.
Too late in the cycle, you know what I mean? They came along just a little too late, which is unfortunate because they were great. And yeah, Kelly's great, and Kelly should have been recognized as well. But he is starting to be now, and that's great.
Yeah, no, he's doing a fantastic job in Foreigner. You know, I mean, all of you guys are. And you just announced that you are doing a tour with Kid Rock, which at first, I mean, I was like, you guys are opening for him, right? So which, I mean, I found that a little bit weird just because I personally am like, Foreigner should be headlining everything, but that's just me. but I mean, you guys have toured together in the past, right?
We did. And it was a very, very successful tour. We all had a lot of fun. It did really well. And Bob, Kid Rock, is a good guy, and he's a great businessman. And you know, I think he's looking at the big picture, and he kind of sees himself as being a classic rock artist in the big picture long term. So I applaud him for being able to kind of view things that way. And by bringing us in there, it kind of like gently nudges him into the classic rock world, which I think is a great thing, because he's, you know, he is his own artist, and he does have a huge following, and he's got a lot of really diehards, and it's going to be a really fun tour. We shall see. I have a feeling it's going to lead to some great things.
And you guys aren't on the whole tour, correct? It's only a couple dates?
No. Well, I don't know, but I don't know if we're on the exact whole tour, but I know we're on a lot of it. So, right. I mean, it goes all the way into, I think, September or October or something.
Oh, wow.
It goes for a while. I forget when, but yeah, it goes for a while. So yeah, we're on a lot of the shows.
Yeah. How did it feel for you to, you know, finally get back on stage, which I know is such a, you know, typical question nowadays, but I mean, you've been touring for a large part of your life and, you know, in so many different bands and, you know, with Foreigner now for almost 19 years. So to have 2 years off is probably like, what the fuck, right?
It was actually only a year and 4 months, but it was, it was life changing. It was great. It was wonderful to have that time because I have this. So I was able to do a lot of recording here. Right. And then I had my family, which, you know, I got to spend time with, and, you know, my daughter's about to graduate from high school. So it was a good time to have all that. So I just tried to be very grateful and appreciative of that time. And then tried to use it wisely and got some recording done in here. And so, you know, for me, the pandemic has been a lot easier than it's been for a lot of people. And I'm very aware of that. But just trying to keep up a good face and trying to keep making good music here, regardless of what happens with that pandemic.
No, I'm so, you know, and happy and in love with everything that you've done over the last couple of years. You know, like I said, Black Swan and The End Machine has been great. You did two records with them, with another fantastic singer. You know, you had Robert Mason in there and, of course, George Lynch. And so, I mean, I'm really looking forward to this next Black Swan record. Do you have any, you know, songs that you'd like to highlight that maybe people should look out for that are your favorites from that?
Well, the two singles, Generation Mind, and then the next single is going to be a song called Eagles Fly. I'm really happy about. Let's see. I'm excited about the whole record. Just got to listen to the whole record. There's a lot of really interesting stuff on it. The end song is called I Will Follow, is really interesting. So I just a lot of good stuff on there. Coming soon.
Yeah, coming soon, coming April 8th. I'm pretty sure I'm going to check that, make sure that that's correct. But I'm very excited for that. Everyone keeps tagging me and stuff and going, you must be really stoked about this. I'm like, I am. I'm really looking forward to it. And, you know, thank you for still making music and doing stuff you know, after all of these years, it's a gift to, you know, all of your fans and the people who love what you've done.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So, thank you for having me on. It's been wonderful. Good luck on everything. Glad for WMMR. Look, they're lucky as well. So keep carrying the torch, Sid.
You just finished listening to my conversation with Mr. Jeff Pilson, former bassist for Dokken, current bassist for Foreigner, The End Machine, Black Swan, and more. What a great guy, am I right? It's just every time I talk to him, I'm so blown away by his kindness and just how awesome Jeff is. So I was so stoked to have him on the podcast finally. Like I said, I've had the opportunity to talk with him many times over the years, but not for Metal from the Inside. So, you know, it's always a blast to reconnect with him. Always so much fun to chat about everything he's up to. He's always doing so much. Him and George Lynch are so similar in the fact that they always have so many projects going on. George Lynch's like musical roster just goes on forever. You know, I feel like for both of them, for both Jeff and George, I see headlines come up on a lot of these music sites, and it's just like they're always working on something new, which I love. And like we mentioned in the interview, you know, obviously, you know, people like Jeff and George, and Jeff specifically, you know, is doing a lot of this still out of pure passion and want to do it. And like we talked about there with Mick Brown, you know, once you stop feeling passion for it is when, you know, you should reevaluate, you know, releasing a new record or going out on tour. But with Jeff and George, I feel like, you know, they have so many projects because they still have so much love and joy for this, you know, not only career, but, you know, this hobby in music. It's more than just a career. So I'm so happy to see them working on so many projects all the time. And they're always so consistently great. You know, like I was talking about with Black Swan and another, you know, record that I'm so in love with that I've also raved a ton about is George Lynch's project Dirty Shirley. And I mean, they're just both out there killing it. And, you know, Jeff especially, so many different projects while he's touring with Foreigner. It's just incredible. So I'm so happy to have had Jeff back on. I really hope that you guys enjoy this conversation and that all my Dokken fans had fun listening to this one, even my non-Dokken fans. I hope you guys were able to, you know, enjoy this and get something out of it. So thank you guys so much for tuning in to another episode. If you'd like to stay up to date with Metal from the Inside, you can check out our website, www.metalfromtheinside.com. As well as our social media. We are on Instagram at Metal From The Inside, Twitter at MFTI Official, and we are also on Facebook. And if you'd like to watch this interview with Jeff, I know I mentioned this at the end of every podcast episode, but you can head over to our YouTube channel, also Metal From The Inside, and all of our interviews are actually available as video interviews over on the YouTube channel. So you can go ahead and check that out. Subscribe if that's what you're into. And if you'd like to stay up to date with me, Sydney Taylor, you can follow me on social media as well. I'm on Instagram at Sydney Anna Taylor and on Twitter at S Taylor Official. Stay tuned for next week's episode. We are featuring an incredible guitar player who goes by the name of Sammy Bowler, and he has been recognized by Guitar World, Ultimate Guitar, Joe Satriani, Dave Friedman of Friedman Amplifiers as one of guitar's most electrifying players of, you know, the modern age, the modern day. And he is phenomenal. If you have a chance before next week, be sure to go ahead and check him out on social media, especially Instagram. He posts a lot of videos of, you know, different riffs and just a lot of stuff he's working on. He is truly amazing. And in our conversation that you will hear next week, we talk about Sammy's brand new band, Pharaohs, as well as his first instrumental solo record, Kingdom of the Sun. So that was a really fun conversation. And you will see that right here next week on the Metal from the Inside podcast. Thank you guys so much again for tuning in. I'm your host, Sydney Taylor. And as always, be safe, take care of yourselves, be sure to spin your favorite hard rock and heavy metal record for me, and we will see you right back here next week on the Metal from the Inside podcast. Rock on!